Epiphany is a beautiful word. It means the inbreaking of insight. It can mean moving towards wisdom. It can mean opening up to divine inspiration. It is the word that encapsulates today's lesson, where we join Isaiah 60 and Matthew chapter 2. You notice the connections of these very important passages, one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. And it's these magi, these fascinating people that we sometimes call wise men, on this journey from this faraway place. And growing up in Tennessee, we were told in Sunday school that these three kings, these wise men, came from afar, which in Tennessee, we thought they were firefighters coming from a fire. So it was interesting for me to discover in seminary that they actually were probably from Babylon or Persia. And the cool thing about these passages, Isaiah 60 and Matthew chapter 2, is where there is this meeting, this intersection of these two very important Bible verses. This prediction, this prophecy that from faraway places, important people will discover that God is doing something new in the world. And what I love about the way Isaiah 60 begins is this powerful, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is upon you. That is one of those incredibly vital reminders that we, regular people, have among us this great gift of God's presence, this epiphany of the possibility of God's wisdom working in and through our lives right here and right now. Arise and shine. So this important intersection of Matthew chapter 2 and Isaiah 60 is for us the beginning of what I'd like to see as our own journeys of faith. And think about these magi from this faraway place, and they had the wisdom to recognize that God was doing something new in the world, and they wanted to be a part of it. So they started a pilgrimage. This idea of journey is not new to the Christian life, but for us today, this idea of epiphany, the movement of our lives from point A to point B, this idea of God being with us and inspiring us and pushing us forward in the life of faith, I want us to think about this journey having 5 points, the 5 points of a star. As we think about what God is doing in our lives and this call to shine for our journey, let's think about what we need on the trip. Now, those of you that have traveled, and I know that a lot of you in this sanctuary today have been all over the place. You've traveled and you've traveled with people. And you know that when you're traveling with people, sometimes things can get a little dicey. And you need people and yourself to abide by certain rules, or today we'll just say certain elements of wisdom in order to survive on the journey. And the first element of wisdom, the first thing we can start with, is the importance of kindness. Kindness on a journey with people, even those that you may not agree with or be comfortable with, kindness is still contagious. Back in Charlotte a few years ago, some of you may remember that there was a lot of news surrounding the fact that there were some pretty bad riots in Charlotte. A lot of stuff was going on related to race relations. And believe it or not, in Charlotte, folks thought, at least in the white community, that Charlotte had made it. That race relations in Charlotte were beautiful and everything was fine. Few people ever bothered to ask the minority community or African Americans or Hispanic folks how they felt about race relations. But when these riots erupted in Charlotte, there was a concerted effort among a lot of different people to try to get at the root of what needed to happen in the way of healing. In our congregation, largely white congregation, we partnered with a primarily African-American congregation and decided to do some joint projects and have some conversations where we intently and openly would hear each other and listen to each other. And the first session that we decided to have, we felt compelled to entitle What White People Need to Hear. What White People Need to Hear. Now, some of you know that a lot of white people, at least white people that I know, like to talk about race relations, and a lot of times we think we got it all figured out, and sometimes it's important for us to recognize we need to listen, to hear what needs to be said. And so in this first session, a very wise African-American woman who'd been an educator for 30 years stood up, and as a part of the process, she very gently said these words: "What I think white people need to hear is the power of kindness. In the African-American community, we sometimes just feel like we're not treated with dignity. We are treated like second-class citizens. We don't really feel like people look us in the eye or care that we're around." She said, "You'll never know how much power there is in the simple task of being kind." Because, she said, "Kindness is contagious, and when someone is kind to me, I want to be kind back. This is the first step." We've got a lot to do and a lot to learn, but she said the first step is the power of kindness. Kindness is contagious. Flexibility is helpful. A number of years ago, I was called to be pastor of First Baptist Church of Rockingham, a little town in North Carolina. And as a part of that journey into this small southern town, I had contracted with a little local organization to have my trash picked up. Paid a certain amount of money each month, and the garbage truck was supposed to come up and pick up my trash. Well, this worked for about 3 months, and then all of a sudden, the truck stopped showing up. So after about the second week of my trash beginning to pile up, I called the number that was on my bill, and I said, "My trash hasn't been picked up. I've been paying my bills." And the very kind woman on the other end of the line said, "Well, our truck broke, and we're having trouble picking up people's trash." And I said, "Well, I get that, but my trash needs to be picked up." And she said, "I understand, but our truck is broke." And I said, I get that, but I've been paying my bill and I need my trash picked up." And she said, "As soon as we fix our truck, but right now the truck is broke." Well, a little while later, I was visiting with a beautiful couple in our church, Ruby and Bernard Hudson. And they asked me, out of concern of my adjustment from Washington, D.C. to this little southern town, "How are things going?" And I said, "Well, things are going really well. Love the church, love the folks," I said, "but I'm having trouble getting my trash picked up." And Bernard said, "Well, you know, his truck is broke." "I know! I'm aware of that!" And Ruby, sensing my frustration, smiled and she said, "You know, this is a real sweet family. And sometimes flexibility is helpful. They can't fix their truck if we don't pay them. So let's be patient and let's be flexible." Now, we know that we need to hold each other accountable, and sometimes we can enable bad, negative behavior, but sometimes kindness is not only contagious, but flexibility is helpful. And humility is vital. We can be kind and we can be flexible, not because we're special or important or brilliant, but because we're called to be humble. The prophet Micah really gets to the essence of this in the Old Testament, where he really sets the foundation for everything that Jesus is going to do in the New Testament. The prophet Micah asks this rhetorical question: What is it that God requires of you? And if you think about that question, I mean, if you want to know what the Bible boils down the meaning to our lives and the focus of our journeys, this is it. What is it God requires of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God. Now, if you flip it and think in terms of the foundation of this triad is actually humility with God, being humble as we walk with God. This empowers everything else that is to come after. We can be kind, we can be flexible. Being humble with God then generates the power, the possibility of loving kindness and doing justice as we walk humbly with God. Humility is simply the ability in you and me to recognize that the world doesn't revolve around us. I know some of you have that difficulty of, like me, my wife sometimes will actually say that. The world doesn't revolve around you. Well, in fact, we together have to come to the common recognition. In humble service, God is at work in you, God is at work in me. And we all are on this journey together. And in humility, we come to this common sense that God isn't finished with any of us yet. And we can be humble in this vital aspect of this third point of the star. So the first point, kindness is contagious. The second point of the star, flexibility is helpful. The third point in our wisdom on the journey of this star is humility is vital. And the fourth, gratitude is transformational. Some of you have come to this conclusion that if you can start your day with just thinking of one thing that we're thankful for, one thing that God has done in our lives that we can be grateful for, it changes everything about the perspective of the day. Or the converse, at night, at the conclusion of the day, what was it that God taught me today that I needed to learn? What was it that I could be thankful for today that occurred? Many of you have shared over the course of these last several months things in your lives that were difficult or troubling or concerning, and many of you yet even still said, but it could have been so much worse. I have so much to be grateful for. I have so much to be thankful for. This whole perspective now, this fourth piece of the puzzle, gratitude is transformational, and finally, our fifth point of the star, generosity is sacred. You notice the root of this word, generosity, also is the first book of the Bible, Genesis. Genesis means the beginning, and it may well be way back in the origins of language that as people started figuring out how to live in community, there was the recognition of this intimate connection between beginning life and journey together and having a generous spirit. Having a sense that it's not all about us. In fact, there's this tremendous gift in being able to give of ourselves and give away portions of what we have as gifts. The model for us in this particular lesson is these magi who, as a part of their journey, trying to probably get along with each other on this long trip and hang in there together and be kind and be flexible and be humble and be grateful, they're also, as a foundation for this whole journey, was the generosity of their gifts. They were moving from this faraway place to go to Jesus and give something significant. What a powerful metaphor for our journeys, the pilgrimages that you and I share, of moving our lives in the direction of Jesus. So the five points of our star, this idea of kindness, flexibility, humility, gratitude, generosity, then serves as this very, very important foundation for what all of us will experience at some point along the way. For the Magi on their journey ended up in Jerusalem with Herod. And this is one of those difficult moments in our lives where we realize there are going to be obstacles that confront us in very difficult ways. We're going to come up against these giants like David faced in Goliath. Places in our lives of faith where we are intimidated, we're scared, we're not sure what the right decision is. In the case of this beautiful eighth grade girl who sent me an email one day, her email said this: "I'm struggling in my school because my principal and the teachers that oversee my classes are saying things that are making me very uncomfortable." She said, "They are saying things about gay people and Muslims that I don't think is right or fair." She said, "I have neighbors, two Muslim families just down the street from me. They both have daughters. We play together, we're good friends. And it's hard for me to believe that what the principal and these teachers are saying relate in any way to these girls that I enjoy and am friends with. What they're saying about gay people doesn't seem to fit with the God that I've been taught to believe in. What do I do?" We emailed back and forth. We ended up talking a couple of times, and she made the decision of what to do. She wrote an essay. As a result of her essay, she and her mother were called to the principal's office. And her mother, after this encounter, came to me and she said, "I've never been so proud of my daughter." She, like these Magi, made the decision to not go back and encounter Herod again. They stood for what was right and had this divine inspiration that they should go back home by another route. She ended up leaving that school, went to a public school, got an excellent education. She now is majoring in international relations at the University of South Carolina, which isn't the best place to go, but nevertheless, she turned out great because she was wise and she was courageous. We all face our own Jerusalems and our own Herods, and this sort of test that we have periodically in our lives is, do we have the ultimate wisdom to be able to take seriously the warnings that don't quite jive with what we've been told and taught and understand in our hearts? This can't be right. This is not in line with what I believe the God that I worship stands for. Compassion and understanding and openness and deep concern for those around us. This doesn't quite fit. We listen to that holy urging in our hearts and our spirits, and we're called to utilize the wisdom that God is teaching us on our journeys. We can rise and shine, for our light has come, and the glory of the Lord shines upon us and through us and in us. Thanks be to God in Jesus Christ. May it be so today and all this year. Amen.